like, oh, go? Like, is this the beginning of a race?
Yeah.
Should we record. Race each other? Should we race each other to the end of the podcast? Oh, this is First Word Implies. Yeah. That's Simulator. My name is Zach, and join me as Mike, and we have news. No, that's not the real intro. But if we had a theme song, that would be the intro that would go before the theme song. But I suck.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because you haven't made a theme song in 21 episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't.
No, I had noticed.
Let's just let's just assume for now that is an impossibility. Unless inspiration strikes on some like early Christmas morning.
Right.
Let's just assume that's not happening. Hello, and welcome to First Person Podcast Simulator. My name is Zach, and joining me today is...
Mike.
And it
joining you for like the past million years.
Yeah, right. You know, it has been about a million years. The planet has been destroyed and
that's
reformed.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually on New Earth, which I gotta say, you know, pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite part? Go ahead, yeah.
My favorite part is this Ice King guy who lives next door. He's pretty crazy.
Yeah, no,
He's
been in the paper a few times.
Yeah.
Poor
old
guy.
Man yells at cloud. No, sorry, that was Phil Fish the Third.
My favorite part is that, like, video games are the only medium now.
Hmm. Wow.
They're the movies, they're the music,
mm-hmm.
they're interactive comics.
Yep.
And they've actually transcended media,
mm-hmm.
and they're just everyday objects now.
Right.
I have an Earthbound toaster.
Okay.
And a Pikmin licensed sink.
Mm-hmm.
And
what does that entail? Does it flow hot and cold running Pikmin?
It's regular water, but
oh, okay.
I can hit a button and uh-huh. certain Pikmin will come out and just do my dishes for me.
Oh, that's nice.
There can only be 100 that's of good. Them though. And they're like really small. Like mm-hmm. if you've seen the scale of the games, like it takes like 40 of them to pick up like a AA battery.
Okay.
So
not
it
so
does
helpful,
take a long, like much longer than your regular dishwasher,
mm-hmm.
but they're just so cute.
Also, I just want to point out what you said. Sounded like a really lame version of Highlander. There can only be 100.
Oh. I've never seen Highlander.
Yeah, me neither.
No one has, but everyone knows that line.
Right, yeah. That's all I know of Highlander.
There
can only be one. Why? I don't know.
I
never will.
Because the movie said so.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it has been a while. We had like a very, very short, like, what have you been up to, blah, blah, blah sort of conversation, but
mm-hmm.
what have you really been doing the last few weeks?
The school things, falling behind in school things is what I've been up to.
Oh my God, no, yeah, I feel the same fucking way.
Ugh, God. It's just this one class, cultural diversity. There is so much things going on. There's so much to read.
You say it's very diverse in what you have to do?
I would, Zach.
Culturally?
Yes, quite.
All right, good.
Yep. Yeah, I guess TV stuff. Have I mentioned
the
campus
show?
TV station? Yeah, we're not just doing one show. We're just kind of, like, we run comedy for the network, so we can kind of do whatever we want.
Oh.
That hasn't been a huge part of what I've been busy with, though. I wish it were. I wish we were doing more with it, but we really haven't been.
So wait, when you say that you just run comedy, that sounds like anything that is or is not funny that goes into that TV station, you, like, have an oversight into that. Like, what do you mean when you...
What it means, we're in charge of creating all of the content under the umbrella of comedy.
Ah, okay, all right. And so I assume that the show that you've been working on falls under that umbrella? Or...
Yes. We haven't done a whole lot of work. We finished the script for episode one, for the pilot.
Okay.
We still have to do a casting call. We put up flyers for, like, hey, you want to be an actor? And we got a lot of interest in that, got a lot of emails back. And now we just have to have people in for auditions and then figure out when we're shooting this thing.
I think if I had free time, I would genuinely audition for one of the roles.
I think you would be good.
I have, like, 0.5% of acting experience.
That's good.
I directed. I directed a one act once.
Okay.
I don't know how good I would be at memorizing lines, but I think I might be all right. I might be able to do it.
All right. we'll think about it. You know?
Maybe that's what we'll do next week. You'll send me the script, and I'll see. We'll do an audition.
Yeah, the whole podcast will just be you trying to memorize.
Me trying to, from experience of shooting the Adventure Time review.
oh, God, don't remind me.
It'll take me about
an
hour.
It's been fine.
It'll take me an hour to get through a paragraph.
But it all turns out fine in the end when Mike decides to edit it 6 months later.
Yes. And actually, it's interesting. I looked at the views on that the other day.
Oh, yeah.
It's still racking up some views. It's
doing pretty
good. I can't remember, actually. It's either cleared 300 or 400 recently. I think it cleared 400 views.
It cleared 500, dude.
Whoa, excuse me?
It's sitting at 502 right now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Why do people care about that video?
I have no idea. I mean, because you did such a great job, buddy.
I mean, because of the stellar editing that happened.
Yes, that's what it was.
For all of you who are wondering, it is just going to be 55 more minutes of a circle jerk, so hang in there.
Yeah, just wait. Not going anywhere.
Gotcha. That's cool, though. Besides the falling behind in class, which I am doing equally because my senior year is overwhelming as shit.
Oh, yeah, this is your full boy.
Yeah.
So how's that?
I mean, there are a lot of avenues to focus on, because it's not just school. It is both like focusing on school academically, but then also considering my acoustical testing 2 project, which is like could potentially be a thing that I present to employers, and if it's good, like professionals in the industry, so that's stressful, and I don't have like a solid idea for what I want to do for that yet, and that I need to figure that out in about a month.
Oh, God.
And then there's the whole, like, actually doing my resume and getting business cards together, because I'm going to... Mm. Oh, fun news. I'm actually going to a acoustics conference in San Francisco.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The thing is, my department's so fucking small that... Okay, let me back up. So... whenever there's one of these conferences and like our school can give us funding to go to these conferences for educational purposes, usually what they'll do is they'll have people like submit essays and they'll be like, oh, so why do you think you should go to this thing? And they'll be like, oh, this and this. And like, what are your qualifications? How many semesters do you have to graduate? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the thing is, our sort of department is so small, specifically acoustics, that there were only like 13 kids who submitted essays and they were going to pick like 8, but they found extra money somewhere. And they're like, you're all going, but you have to all pay $50 more. And we're like, cool, yes, all right, awesome. So they're taking, like, the hotel's paid for. They're taking $200 off our plane tickets.
Wow.
And, yeah, so first week of December, I will be out of here because I will be at a big professional acoustics conference.
Sweet.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
Wow. That's kind of like... in the communications department, we're required to go to NAB, which is the National Association of Broadcasters. They have a big conference in Vegas.
Oh, neat.
Which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. But the thing is, like, it is important to try and have, like, business cards in case you rub shoulders with the right person and I land a job where I have to move halfway across the country. Literally halfway across the country. So those are like the three areas of my stress that are happening currently. So pretty good. You know, I'm doing all right. Everything considered. Yeah. Very big, important things. But anyways, let's get to why we're all really here. All two of us and the 5 listeners.
All two of us.
Vidya Games.
Indeed.
So what you been playing, man?
I love them. I think I mentioned this in a previous podcast, Guns of Icarus Online. It was a game that I checked out, and I was like, hey, this looks really cool. And then it was on sale on Steam, so I bought a 4-pack, because it was like $7, and I had like $4.50 from selling stuff on the Steam store.
Oh, really?
So it only I only had to pay like two something. Actually, it came out to.
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, it was really good. And did I give you one?
Yeah,
of those?
You totally did, and I thank you for it. And in a future where I have a computer that can run it, I am totally thanking the shit out of you. Actually, I already thanked the shit out of you, but you know.
Oh.
That was very nice of you. I'm very excited.
I would think that your computer could run it. I don't know.
I mean, I should try sometime. maybe we should play together and see what that's like.
Yeah. It's not, well, I don't want to say anything about it, whether it's bad or not. But, like, I played it online with my friend a few nights ago, and I don't think they have, like, a great laptop, and they were able to keep up, so.
Okay.
It shouldn't be too heavy.
It just seems like my laptop has been able to run less and less. Or not so much that it has or hasn't been able to run something, but it will be running something, and then like a fan or something will turn on, or something will get overheated, and it'll start lagging more than usual. And like just slow down the game to like a crawl.
God.
Yeah, like that happened to me with Rogue Legacy, which is so frustrating, because like half the time it would run perfect, and the other time half the time it would run like super slow, and that's like, like it's such a good game, but I can't play it effectively because my computer's bunk. So I just haven't been playing anything that's even on the like like edge of graphically intensive.
Yeah, I've been there.
Because it's just it's so frustrating. Like I don't even want to take the chance of, you know, I don't want to get set up and then just get rejected like that. It hurts.
That's right. You've been played by video games before. Whoa! See what I did there? Played by video games.
So deep. All right.
Yeah. Also, what else I've been playing? Well, Delver's Drop, which is one of the games that I kickstarted. It's out in alpha for Kickstarter backers right now, and I did a preview video thing for it, which you can watch on the YouTube.
Yeah, I know. That was really good.
And I told you, the Delver's Drop people retweeted our video.
Yeah, it's crazy. We got fucking retweeted by the Delver's Drop Twitter.
Pretty awesome.
So we're basically famous now.
Right, yeah.
And everybody, we're way too good for you guys.
Give us your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like where it is right now. I don't know if any patches have been released since I played it, but I should get back to it and see how development is going. But what I played was really enjoyable.
So I'm super curious of what like it consists of in terms of like objectives, because at the moment in my mind, all it seems like is a see how like deep you can get in this dungeon kind of game.
Yeah, that's all it is right now, but I think there's going to be a story, and there's going to be more characters, and they are going to add some RPG elements for character progression. There will be, like, skill trees and stuff.
Ah, cool. I love
different
skill
weapons.
Trees.
Yeah, good stuff.
Everyone who's ever played Diablo 2 should probably love skill trees. Just something very deep inside of them. If you play that as, like, a young kid. I don't know. Yeah. I played that when I was pretty young, actually. I probably shouldn't have, but I did. And anyone who's gone through that loves skill trees.
All right. Good stuff. I'm trying to think if I've had any good experiences with skill trees. Nothing is jumping to mind. I don't know that I have.
I'm trying to think of games that you might have played that might also have skill trees. I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that. And Kerbal Space Program also. It was updated a little while ago, but I hadn't been able to jump into it. They've added career mode now.
Ah.
So it's not all sandbox. I mean, you can play in like sandbox mode if you want, but now career mode, that's a thing. Career mode has everything like locked down, so it's like what when I first brought up the game, it's what you assumed the game would be. So like you have some parts available to you to build a ship, and you can go out and do science, and then science. You like get science points, and then science can be used to buy on, ironically enough, a skill tree, more parts and more things that you can do to earn more science and earn more things. So it gives the game a direction that you can go in, and it's less intimidating to play this way, I think.
Oh, good, cool. No, that's always good.
Because you're limited in what you can do at the beginning of career mode. So it's like, hey, let's ease you into putting a giant ship into space. And
yeah, let's ease you into this game that you heard from all your friends is, like, really kind of pretty tough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, cool. Very good.
Yeah. And Link to the Past also, because I got really excited about A Link Between Worlds, because when that comes out, I'm totally going to buy a 3DS.
Good,
and
cool.
And that game. And so I put Link to the Past on my tablet through entirely legal means.
Oh, of course.
Of course. And, yeah, it's just my, oh, it's my favorite Zelda game. It's so good.
So I would assume that you're using a touch interface for that, then.
Yeah, and it's not that great, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, I've heard that, like, the virtual joystick stuff is mostly very miss and sometimes hit.
Mm-hmm. It's not as bad as it could be, but
okay.
It's no SNES controller.
Yeah, fair. Well, I mean,
obviously.
Come on.
Just like I was playing Donkey Kong Country on there the other day, and like just there are times when you have to hold down Y to run and then use B while you're holding Y.
Mm-hmm.
And on a touch interface, like, it's obviously multi-touch, so that is possible, but it's just harder to do without, like, haptic feedback.
No, right.
I don't know, it's different. It's okay for Link to the Past, but I'd rather play it on my SNES, but my SNES is kind of dying. I don't know. Kind of want to see if I can get it fixed.
Mm.
Probably can't, though.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I mean, I would look into possibly getting a new one, depending on how much you like your SNES cartridges.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you just mentioned that you are thinking about getting a 3DS when the second Link to the Past comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I must
so
have it.
Curious, are you going to try and, like, wait for some Black Friday deals with that shit?
That is actually a great idea that I hadn't thought of until you just said it.
You should really consider that, because...
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Depending on what the prices are, because, I mean... You can get, you know, a refurb. We've talked about this. You can get a refurb one for $140 from Nintendo.
That was my plan, but Black Friday might be better.
Yeah. No, that. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You're tall and skinny. You can bob and weave through those crowds.
Right, yeah. I can. My sister can hold me up and throw me like a javelin. She's not strong enough for that. It's not going to happen.
I mean, if you just stop eating now, by then you'll probably be light enough to just, you know, fling.
That's a great plan. If you stop eating now, by Thanksgiving, you'll surely be light enough to fling.
You could just eat all of Thanksgiving dinner, just, like, make it back then.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
Like, eat the whole thing. Like, get your own separate Thanksgiving dinner at, like, your
right.
own kid's table.
So,
have a fat feast.
Right. So, I'll be like, hey, Mom, if you could cook two Thanksgiving dinners...
If you could
one
cook,
of
like,
them for you guys and one of them just for me, that'd be great.
If you could cook like 1.5 turkeys for me.
I'm a vegetarian.
If you could cook 1.5 tofurkeys for me. What do you eat during Thanksgiving? Like, what are your favorite things?
I don't. I just cry.
That's my meal, and I'm thankful for it.
Right. We go around the table.
God.
Mike, what are you thankful for? Shut up, guys.
What are you thankful for?
I think
God.
He said family.
I wanted to mention, too, like, have you seen, like, the number of DSs and 3DSs that are coming out? Like, just in terms of the different designs?
Mm-hmm.
Or, sorry, I meant 3DSs and 3DS XLs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's starting to make me so pissed. Because I just have this regular, like, bland, like, blue one, and there are these Pokemon ones, and there's going to be a Zelda one coming out in Europe,
yeah.
And there's going to be...
I think the Zelda one's coming here, too, I think.
Oh, I hope so.
If it is, then I want to try to jump on that shit.
No, that would be nice, but there's just, like, come on, Nintendo, you've already sold, like, 40 million of these things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what'd you think was going to happen? They always
do
this.
Yeah, I know. They want everyone to own a 3DS, and frankly, so do I, because that means more street passes. But
right.
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting an XL, too.
I've heard XLs are really nice.
Yeah.
If, like, portability isn't really an issue for anywhere you're going, probably get an XL.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I mean, I carry a bag everywhere. I don't really need it to fit in my pocket, so.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have gotten that Animal Crossing 3DS. That would have been nice. Anyways.
Indeed.
Cool. Super cool. I feel like I had something else to bring up, but we should move along. We've been talking about ourselves. Let me run through what I've been playing real quick, because we're going to be 20 minutes in. So,
play beans.
Animal Crossing, duh.
Of course.
It's turning fall, so all the trees are turning different colors and stuff now.
Nice.
Different fish and different bugs are happening. I feel like I had something more exciting. Oh, I'm finally putting together my furniture for, like, my, Overlord dungeon.
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten a lot of masks. There's also... Oh, even more... Fuck that. Fuck my Overlord dungeon. Even more important than the Overlord dungeon.
I'd rather not.
Specifically for October, there is now a spooky set of furniture.
Oh, boy.
And it's all, like, pumpkin-based. So you can get, like, spooky wardrobes and spooky beds and couches.
Yes.
You can get spooky, like, wallpaper and floors and stuff. And there is actually, like, this spooky dude named Jack who's all like, hey, you should get a costume and candy together so you could do my bidding on the 31st. Do you want to do that? And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And then he does, and then he does a backflip and disappears into the ether.
Sweet. Well, I mean, of course.
So
what else was he gonna do?
Those are the exciting things happening in Animal Crossing.
That's really cool. That's like things pop up like as the year goes along.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited for Christmas. Oh my god, I'm excited for I'm excited for holiday time. Whatever they decide to do then. Maybe. If it's anything like the GameCube one, there are gonna be Christmas lights on all the trees.
Oh, that's gonna be adorable.
It will be.
Crap.
People be giving you gifts left and right.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Yeah. So Animal Crossing. Usual. Done. But one of the more interesting things I had played recently is Legend of Dungeon, which do you remember that game?
I remember you mentioning it, I think.
It's like it's a dungeon crawler. It's like a pixely dungeon crawler that's mostly 2D, a little bit 3D, but mostly 2D.
Okay.
And you go about this dungeon with your buddies, you fight things, you collect loot. But the thing is, it's a roguelike, so everything's randomly generated. So some of the things that you can get are just absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a bit of a learning curve to, like, figuring out how to actually, like, function in, like, in the game's mechanics. Like, reading the initial, like, what your individual, like... Because the way it's laid out is that if you have four players, there are all their individual, like, numbers in each corner of the screen. And it's not incredibly apparent what all those numbers mean initially, so there's not a very good tutorial that goes along with it. But you learn, like, oh, okay, I think this is my attack, and this is my defense, and this is my health. But as you get playing, you just get these wacky fucking... Like, I had a mug that made me, like, five or six times as fast as anyone else on the screen. And I would zip around and kill a bunch of enemies and get a bunch of experience. I think I played this with, like, Sean and David and Nick. They came over recently. And, like, someone got, like, this unicorn shield that they, like, bashed into people with. And, like, it's funny because there are a bunch of, it's really anachronistic, too. So you can get, like, swords and shields and stuff. But you can also get, like, guns and bazookas and fucking, like, coffee and all this and beer. And it's interesting. I don't think it could ever be fun as a single-player experience.
Mm-hmm.
But with friends, oh, my God, it's hilarious. It's really fun.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that was good. It was weird because Legend of Dungeon is a game that we heard about right when we were playing Hammerfall.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which are both in, like, really similar kind of
games. Wait, you mean Hammerwatch?
Yes, I mean Hammerwatch, not Hammerfall. Is Hammerfall that shitty indie game that we hate?
Oh, probably.
It's the one where you rotate your mouse to mace joust. Yeah, and you should do a Let's Play of that.
Helicopter mace jousting.
Well, yeah, basically.
File that under good ideas.
It could have been good. It was it was pretty close to being good.
If it weren't the stupidest thing I've ever played.
If its central mechanic wasn't garbage. anyways, check that out, guys. Don't check that out. So then I played this other game that was recommended to me through the Hash Whatcha Playin' blog. They like post their videos on there, but also Anthony Birch posts, like, it's like, this is reasons why I like this game and you should like it too for these reasons. and it's a game called Castles in the Sky, and it literally costs $1.50. Like, that's its starting price.
Mm.
And it's like, the best way that it's been described is it's a storybook of a video game. It's like this very calm, easy, simple game that just puts a big ol' smile on your face. It just makes you feel really, really good. Like, it's nothing about how its mechanics play. It's I don't know, it's atmospheric, and it's something that, like, everyone should just, like, spend $1.50 just to feel really good about this game. It, like, takes 15 minutes to play tops. It's a good experience.
What's it on?
It's on PC.
Is it on Steam?
No, you have to... You know, it's actually kind of tough to find, I think.
Castles in the Sky.
Yeah, let me actually see. I want to direct people to this thing correctly.
Yeah.
So it is... It's made from the indie studio The Tall Trees. I need to... Because I know, like, the thing is, if you search for it, you get a bunch of, like, these Flash games and stuff.
And, like, old movies called Castles in the Sky. thetalltrees.co.uk/castlesinthesky.
So follow that link. You know, maybe I'll try and get a link up there. .co.uk?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I clicked on something that said The Tall Trees, and it was something about Native Americans. okay. Yeah, no, it's a very...
Oh, yeah, $1.50 through Humble People.
Yeah, yeah. It's not very... It's not popular enough to, like, be able to instantly find the link, which is kind of sad almost, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, we'll provide that link, because I think that's something that everybody should play. It's just, it's good.
It looks really cool.
Yeah. Also, and we can talk about this. So, you mentioned earlier that you really want to get Pokemon XY.
Yes.
Before, like, when I talked about it, you didn't seem like you expressed a whole heck of a lot of interest in it.
No,
neither
I wasn't
did I,
excited
honestly.
For it before.
I wasn't either. But you know what? I've been seeing people on Twitter talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching Mika play it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I really fucking want this stupid game.
Yeah. It's exactly the same as every other Pokemon game you've ever played, and I want it so, so bad.
Yeah, and everyone is like, yeah, it's exactly the same, and that's fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy they didn't mess it up, you know?
Well, right, obviously. I guess...
how much you could mess up Pokemon, though.
Yeah,
pretty
yeah.
Easy.
From what I've been hearing, Shinies are a little bit easier to acquire now.
Hmm.
Not so much that people are catching them left and right, but yeah. That, like, it seems like you'll be getting at least one Shiny in the game as you play through it. I don't know how true that is. I mean, that's a very chancy kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
which
that's
is
awesome.
Also the name of a Pokemon, Chansey.
Yeah, it's. I don't want a shiny Chansey. I don't want fucking Chansey. Chansey's look dumb. No,
shiny Chansey. Shiny Chansey is the name of my prog rock group.
Oh yeah, you play prog rock?
Yeah.
Tell me about your music theory.
Oh, you know, our theory is that music is loud.
Good. All right, good.
Our music
theory. All right. Cool. Good.
Can you tell I'm totally a musician, guys?
Yeah.
Majoring in the jams.
with a Z, right?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm in the jams right. Program.
Fuck. Okay, let's but other than that, so it's what do you think have been like the majoring like factors in like you wanting this new Pokemon?
It's been like a really long time since I've played a Pokemon game all the way. Like, it's been a really long time since I've never bought a Pokemon game. The only Pokemon game I've ever played, like, all the way through is Pokemon Crystal, mm-hmm. which I told you before. And therefore it's my favorite because it was just so fantastic and I had the guidebook and it was great.
Sure, sure.
And, after that, I just fell away from Pokemon for a while. I didn't really play it a whole lot. The only time that I really tried to play other newer Pokemon games was through, like, emulators.
Mm.
And that just isn't the same experience for video games.
No, yeah, absolutely not. It's, like, it's a little bit lackluster. Like, there's something nice about being able to take that with you wherever you go. And, like,
totally.
Just with emulators in general, like, I haven't played them in a while, but my experience is that there's always something that's a little bit missing
yeah.
whenever you play something on an emulator.
So my experience with Pokemon was incomplete after Crystal.
Hmm.
But now I've been thinking about getting a 3DS anyway, because there are a lot of really good-looking games coming out for it, like the new Zelda, and Animal Crossing looks really cool, and everybody's just having a great time with their 3DS.
Yeah.
And then seeing Pokemon come into that and just making it a billion times more awesome. I don't know. And I miss Pokemon. I miss picking your starter and going out there, and it's just a good experience. It's exactly the same every single time, but it is that way because it's so good.
Hey, it's not the same this time. And do you know why?
Why is that?
Because when you play Pokemon and there's a Magikarp on the field, it's actually sideways and flopping around.
Oh my god. Oh, because they're 3D models.
Because they're all 3D.
Yeah, also that.
Now.
It seems like this is like the game that made the biggest leap.
Yeah.
It's made some jumps, a couple of jumps.
Yeah, welcome to 2005, Pokemon, but like seriously, that's...
But no, it looks really good, and people are really enjoying it. People can't shut up about it.
Right.
Now I must have it.
I need to ask you one thing, though. Have you figured out who you want for your starter?
Okay. In the original Pokemon, which I never really played, but I was always a Charmander fan.
Uh-huh.
In Crystal, I went Totodile.
All right.
And had a level 93 Feralligator, which
Jesus.
I loved.
Wow.
So yeah,
that's
I played
dedication.
That game a lot. Totally. And so this time I've been looking at him, and the one that's jumping out at me is the grass type, whose name I don't really know.
Chespin.
Chespin, that's it. So I don't know, I just haven't really been feeling the other two. One of them looks like a nerdy frog. The other one is kind of a fox thing. I don't know. I like Chespin.
I'm totally taking Froakie.
Yeah?
Because in my mind, that's the only starter. So you enjoy your Chespin over there.
He's got a great name, Froakie.
While I level my water toad. Which is fine, because it's funny, because there's a Pokemon in... I might have told you this before, too. There's a Pokemon in Black and White that kind of is sort of the same thing, where it starts off as like a tadpole, and then it goes and like... It evolves into, like, this derpy fucking thing called a Palpitoad. And it's got, like, these big old warts on its head. And it has this animation where it shakes every once in a while, and the warts shake, and it's really gross and weird. But, man, is that Pokemon funny. So, yeah, enjoy your weird chestnut-type Pokemon.
Yeah, will you enjoy all of your attacks being completely ineffectual against me?
That's fine, because, you know what? Grass types. Actually, you know what? Grass types did get boosted a bunch in Black and White.
Oh.
So maybe yours is the right choice.
But come time to pick from the original Red and Blue Pokemon, I'm totally going Charmander.
I'm a Squirtle, dude.
Okay.
I don't always
go... I respect that. Blastoise is
good. You know what? I've always been more attracted to the water and grass types for some reason. I don't know why. I think fire is just too much brute force for my play style. I think I like bobbing and weaving a little bit more and like seeing what else I can do besides just like, you know, decimating the opponent. But which I don't know, doesn't always make sense.
Well, I enjoy completely destroying my opponents.
Well, I enjoy winning, so. No, that's cool though. I don't think I will. The only time I see myself getting Pokemon is if Mika somehow happens to finish it and like put it down. Which,
well,
right now is
good
not
luck.
She just got it, like we got it
yeah
a little bit after it launched, so that's not happening soon. Or if we get another 3DS, which again, that's kind of excessive and we're trying to like save up on money right now, so that's probably
right.
Not happening. So maybe sometime next year. Pokemon Y. And I just realized as you were talking about it that I can, in fact, name the legendary Carpet Bird, because they extended the name length in this new game. So.
Sweet.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I don't know their actual names. Now they're just, they're Carpet Bird and deer made of knives.
Deer
knife. Those are their names now.
I don't know their fucking names either. It doesn't
matter.
No, absolutely not.
Of course not.
Okay, so we have been talking about our games and ourselves for almost 40 minutes now. Let's get on to some new stuff, and I want you to go right ahead.
All right, do you want to talk about the, like, this past week slash month's reviews, or should we go into news? Just go do things.
Let's just do news. Let's do news first.
Okay. Well, first order of business is FPB Sim related stuff,
sure.
which is under the heading in our notes. Hey, we made video junk.
We did. We did. Which I thought make was video junk.
So the first thing was I already talked about the Delver's Drop alpha preview that I did, and Zach, you are currently doing a Lone Survivor Let's Play.
Yes.
Which is going up. The first episode is up.
It's an appropriately spooky game for this time of year.
Yes, indeed. It is perfectly Halloween-y.
And I saw like, you posted the first video on, like, something, and you're like, I hope Zach screams. I'm like, you know what? I totally do. But it's not until we get a little bit farther in where there are a couple more enemies. But I do totally scream.
Nice. So everybody anticipate that. I'm excited now.
Yes, and we should have that one posted. We should have the second part of that posted sometime this week. I think we should be doing at least a video a week. I think that's manageable.
Yeah, that works. And did you get me the video for episode 2? Or
I did not, but I should do that right after this. I'll do that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think I made a pretty jazzy intro for it as well.
You did. It's very, yes, it's very good. I like it.
Yeah.
Good job.
What else? Do you want to talk about... I keep meaning to bring this up. Do you want to talk about David's Gaiman Challenge?
I kind of... Yeah, Neil, let's bring up the concept, but, like, it's kind of
it's
died
a fun
off.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's a fun thing.
Yeah.
So, well, you go ahead. You know more about it.
Well, so our, pretty much our friend David, he is... I would say this is a weird way to bring this up, but he's bored. He's a dude that's pretty bored, but he's also a dude he's very passionate about video games. He's going to community college right now. He's going through classes that are like whatever. So he needs other things to take up his time. So what he did, sorry, I probably talked really fast through that, but what he ended up doing is he made this Facebook group, and it's called David's Gaming Challenge. And what he's doing is that you get a point for every game that you finish, and you document the game, and you like talk about it a little bit. Just as an interesting way to see what all of your friends are playing and, like, see what they think about specific video games. So we're included in this challenge, and we have not been doing very well in it because we haven't been playing very many video games.
I have completed zero games.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. I've completed three.
Okay. That's good.
Including the 10-minute Castles in the Sky, so that tells you how much I've been playing it.
Hey, that counts.
Yeah, but it's been going on for maybe the last... 2 months at the very most.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's an interesting thing that he's been doing.
Yeah, it's a cool idea for all of us peeps to show what we've been playing.
Yeah, it's a good way to show what we've been playing, even though we're not always super, super in touch with each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, I encourage all of our listeners to do the same with your gaming groups.
Indeed.
Maybe it'll be a thing. Probably not, but that would be cool if it was, wouldn't it?
Guys? It would. Well, you know what? It's like we tell our little audience of five people, and then they tell their, like, five friends each, and they each tell five friends. Before you know it, the whole world is doing this, and no one knows where I came from.
That'd be pretty nuts.
It would.
It's not going to happen, but that would be kooky.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of dropped off, because, like, I'm not sure. I think
people got school.
People did just, like, pop into school, I guess. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that thing. Fuck that school. The whole thing.
If it weren't for school, I'd totally be playing games. Like, I haven't even been making any Vlogmeekin videos.
Oh, wow. That's
pretty
crazy. It
sucks majorly.
No, yeah, I've been, again, we talked about how
but,
busy we are about stuff.
It's cool.
Yeah. Anyways,
so that's a cool thing.
Yes.
What else we got here? Erp. Let's talk about Reggie. I just love talking about Reggie. Just love his face and
his general attitude,
the constant readiness of his body, which is something I will say about no one but Reggie.
I mean, my body not nearly as Reggie, not really as Reggie as Reddy's. Good.
It's been said.
So go on.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I just scrolled down to the comments of this article, and there's, like, a high school picture of Reggie.
The high school picture is very great.
It's fantastic. The glasses.
He had a fro.
That's great. Yeah, I love it.
It's a glorious fro.
Bring it back, yeah. Anyway, so Reggie Fils-Aimé, who is the president of Nintendo of America. Is he the president? He's the president.
Yes.
Of Nintendo of America. And so he and Nintendo have announced that he is personally coming to certain towns across the United States to play 3DS and Wii U games with the people. We the people.
It's basically like if someone just said, we have made a machine that has resurrected George Harrison, and he is coming to every town, and he's just going to play in public places for people.
Yeah. So what you're saying is Reggie Fils-Aimé is the George Harrison of video games.
He is resurrected George Harrison.
Okay, got it. He's zombie George Harrison.
Yes. Good.
The tweet that he wrote was this, and I quote, I'm off to the hashtag I'm with Reggie tweet up. Follow here and Facebook to see when I'll be in, all caps, your city, looking to play hashtag Wii U and hashtag 3DS with you, hashtag Reginator.
Pretty big on the hashtags.
Yeah.
So wait, where am I following him at? Because I'm following him right now, because I swear if he comes to Chicago, I'm going to be all over that.
We both have to be there.
Yeah.
It's, just Twitter and Facebook, he'll be announcing where he's going.
It doesn't say his Twitter handle, though, does it?
I can't wait. It's just the official Nintendo of America Twitter.
He's I'm already following that.
Running / taking over that.
All right, you win this round, Reggie. I'll play your waiting game.
Oh, boy.
Beautiful man.
It's not the first time you've said that. To Reggie.
I'll say it to his face.
I'll play your waiting game, you beautiful man. Say that at every loading screen.
Okay.
If you do that, I'll give you five bucks.
I'll just whisper it kind of like under my breath. Yeah, I'm looking at him in the corner of my eye. He'll look over and just be like what? I'll just like pretend nothing happened.
Did you say something? Say no. What? No, Mr. Fils-Aimé.
It's just our little secret that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm. I want to call him Mr. Fils-Aimé and have him say, "Please call me Reggie."
Oh my
God! I want that to be a moment that occurs between the two of us.
You could, and then you could just get that like tattooed on your body in quotes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please call me Reggie.
Oh, that would be so cool.
That's going on my face.
Yeah, prison tattoo style.
Yeah, because I don't need a job.
No, man, not where you're going. Anyways, Reggie, man. Cool.
That would be so great. He's got to come to Chicago. It's a big city.
I would think so.
It's got to happen.
I would hope.
Lovely. Just to touch on it real quickly, as our next thing, we don't have to get into it real heavy, but
sure.
On Polygon, the gaming website that I follow, they put up a big feature piece about sort of the technology that we're seeing in the Watch Dogs, which is coming out next month.
You know what? I'm not sure. It's...
Yes.
I heard recently that it had been delayed.
Oh, it was delayed. You know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It might not be till next year now, but I'm not sure. But so Watch Dogs is all about, it takes place in Chicago, and it's about, like, surveillance and everything being connected to one central network that runs the city, and being able to hack into that and use the powers of surveillance and information gathering to, like, stop crimes and stuff and just learn everything about people.
Right.
And so what they did is they went out to Chicago to see, like, how far off this is. And turns out it's actually already pretty prevalent. Like, there are a lot of the police started putting up cameras in neighborhoods that have a lot of crime.
Right.
And they found that, you know, decreases instances of crime because people see, hey, there's a camera up on that telephone pole. Maybe we shouldn't do crime in front of it.
or at the very least, instances of public crime.
Right, yeah. And so I'm trying to find the number. It was a pretty pretty astounding number of cameras that are in the city of Chicago now, on train platforms and just, you know, CCTV cameras.
Really?
Well, they don't call it that. They call them, what do they call them?
Pods. Well, I mean, well, they're basically CCTV something. Cameras, though.
Yeah, it's basically what it is. But the thing is, like, there are thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of cameras all over the place, and they're, like, each of them recording a 24-hour day, you know, like, times 20,000. You can't go through all of that. And so they're creating programs and algorithms that can sift through the... I just found the number. It's 576,000 hours of video per day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's insane.
Wow. That's my city.
Yeah, that's yeah, exactly. And that's now. Like, that's not in a few years. There are already tens of thousands of cameras there, and they are, a lot of them, already connected to, like, each other, to this central system that sifts through all of the video and the data.
Sure,
and
sure.
And does, like, facial recognition and looks for patterns and stuff like that.
Oh, Jesus.
So, yeah, it's here. And maybe we can link to that in the post, but it's a really great article, and there's a feature video package as well that you can check out, which was really well done.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Really interesting and stuff, yeah.
Polygon's always really good about their videos, too, so I'm actually really interested in watching that later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, them and The Verge, they're doing good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty crazy, being watched all the time.
All the time.
I mean, not saying that the city doesn't need it, though, but...
Sure, I mean, if it reduces crime, yeah, but, you know, there are downsides to it as well, like the...
Well, yes, absolutely. The whole Big Brother thing, obviously.
The word police state comes to mind. Yeah. And, yeah, just reasons of invasion of privacy, stuff like that.
The Bean, actually, just one big camera.
Yeah, no, it's true. That's, it needs to be curved in such a way that it can just see everything.
Just, you know, a majority of, like, just not everyone in Chicago has visited the Bean, but a decent amount of people have.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have that. They've got what you look like.
They have thousands of hours of video of people making stupid faces and holding up cameras.
Yes.
It's good stuff. And the original name for the sculpture, ironically, was the Eye of Sauron. So, fitting.
All right.
It's the sound of the joke whooshing past everyone.
Good stuff. Okay, so I've got a couple chunks of news. Firstly, obviously, there are a lot of Kickstarter games, Mike.
Oh, yes.
Many. So, this one that I've actually found, this friend introduced it to me. It's called... And it's fairly new. It's called Night in the Woods. And the best way that this game is described... I'll just, you know what? We'll link to it. And I'm sure plenty of people are going to contribute to it. I just want to let people know it's already hit its, like, its goal.
Oh, yeah.
I think it hit it in... Let me see. It actually says on the front page. 26 hours. They were asking for 50,000. So that's nothing to sneeze at.
It is double that right now.
24
days to go.
With 24 days to go. So, yeah. So, in 6 days, it doubled its Kickstarter goal, which is, you know, pretty good. Really good for an indie game, obviously. But, so, let me... Like, firstly, you watch this, and the game looks gorgeous. It looks very stylized. And I'll read this first paragraph, because I feel like this sums up the game in, like, a pretty good way. So, the protagonist's name is May. So, It reads, all May wants to do is run around with her friends, break stuff, and hang on to a life of aggressive aimlessness. She dropped out of college and returned home to her crumbling old mining town to do just that. But she's finding that nothing is the same anymore. The old town seems different. Her old friends have grown in their old directions. May herself is undergoing some sudden and unexplained changes, giving her mysterious abilities that grant her access to a side of town that she never knew existed. The town is changing, things are ending, and the future is uncertain. Up behind the park at the edge of town, back in the trees by the old mine, there's something in the woods, and it could mean no future at all. So, again, I do implore people to come watch this trailer, because it's just, it's
gorgeous.
It's very, very good.
Beautiful.
And the way that they describe the game, there's going to be very interesting relationships. It's a strange mixture of, like, 2D action adventure with a couple of puzzles thrown in there, but at the same time, the world in itself is living, and there are all these relationships and problems that you can explore between, like, your friends and your group. But even more interesting, it seems like this weird game that can appeal to a lot of people because it's got that, like, the whole, like, aggressive aimlessness towards it. Like, the idea that, like, a lot of people aren't really sure what to do with their lives because, you know, college isn't always the answer.
Right.
And now, especially of all times, I feel like it's going to speak to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I wish it's I could find...
It's because the video game generation is growing up.
Yeah.
So this is a story about that. And
no, absolutely. And I wish I could find the... Let me find the name of the guys that are working on it. Let me see real quick. Alec the Holowka, Holowka. You can follow him at infinite_ammo if you're interested. But he lives in this this place in Canada that they refer to as, like, the indie house. Mm-hmm. And they've got all of these other, like, indie developers and guys who work, like, this other guy who works on, like, who made this, like, specific indie engine. And I need to remember, it's actually, you know what? He lives with the guy who made Towerfall.
Oh, wow.
Which is receiving a lot of good news. So
he's
in this, like, very interesting situation where if he has a problem with this game, he doesn't know how to implement a certain thing. He can, like, go somewhere else in the house and be like, hey, can you help me with this?
Yeah.
It looks like I'm feeling really good about this game. Not enough to throw money at it because I can't do that right now, but... Mm. That and I don't have the patience to wait on, you know, a Kickstarter game, because the estimated delivery date is January of 2015. Which really, sounds really far away, but really it's only, like, a little bit more than a year if they deliver on that date.
Yeah.
But anyways, please check that out. I think it's gonna hopefully be big.
Yeah, it looks like it. I don't know. We've been seeing a lot of stories about Kickstarters for video games not sort of living up to their promises. Like, they end up running out of money or they can't deliver on the game. But less so with indies. I think they've all been delivering pretty well. But there was that Double Fine game. Has that happened? They were, like, the first big story that, like, broke video games into Kickstarter. And
they
still haven't happened.
Yeah, I think we did a thing on this recently. I think they were doing an early access beta, and they were going to use that money from the people who were interested in it, who aren't the Kickstarter backers, to fund the rest of that game, I think.
Okay.
So it's a smart way to go about it, but it is a little bit, you know, disconcerting.
Yeah. And then there was Neil Stephenson's thing with the sword controller game that sort of fell apart. But that was sort of a tangent. But this, I don't know why I said that. We're just talking about Kickstarter.
No, I think that's an interesting point to bring up, though, because I've been thinking more and more about Kickstarter, and you know, we're seeing some signs of the bubble starting to burst a little
bit. Yeah, I'm starting to think about holding off on backing some games.
Right.
Even though they are all, like, making their goals in, like, 6 hours.
No, yeah, absolutely, but
But yeah, for something this pretty, this far off, And also, I just have to stop backing games on Kickstarter.
How many have you backed so far?
Let me check. I think it's... I want to say 3.
Okay.
Hang on. Backer history.
So like 10, 15 bucks per game?
It's 4. 15, 15, 15, and 10. Jesus, yeah. I have to stop doing that. I backed Mercenary Kings, Cryamore, Delver's Drop, and now Hyperlight Drifter, which looks beautiful, by the way. I think I talked about that already.
Yeah, yeah. But, I think that's a talking point for another podcast, but...
Yeah.
Something to keep in mind, yeah, the Kickstarter, bubble isn't going to be around forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyways, okay.
But yeah, this looks like a beautiful game.
Right, right. Okay, so next little bit of news. I don't think I'm going to do the review talk now, because we're almost an hour in.
Yeah, it's cool. We can push it.
Yeah, I want to say that for another time, because I want that to be a bit more of a discussion. Anyways, okay, so just a couple more chunks of news. So I guess apparently there was some offensive images. Some people thought there were some offensive images in the Stanley Parable.
Hmm.
New game that came out and has been a hit. A lot of people have been liking it. But I guess it's specifically... Let's see if I can find some quotes here. Quote from the maker, Davey Renden, Wrenden. I received 2 separate complaints today from people who found the images made them significantly uncomfortable. And these specific images are, there's an image like this very... It looks very tongue-in-cheek, but there's this image of a man lighting a cigarette for a little boy and another of him lighting that same boy on fire. And it seemed like it's done in a kind of a very campy style. Almost, it's kind of a, like, Portal-ish.
Yeah.
In a way, but it's a little bit more detailed than that, so it can be seen as offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that in one case it made a teacher feel unable to share the game with her young students. So upon receiving these... these complaints, he said, you know what, it's just a small gag in the game. I don't think there's really going to be a big problem to just go through it and change those images.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really interesting, because we're seeing a lot more, not a whole lot more, but developers being much more open to the idea of, oh, this offends you. Well, let me see what I can do about changing that.
Yeah, because we're seeing games really come into the mainstream now, and like they're being used in the classroom, like he said, and they're just in a really interesting place, and so now they're subject to more scrutiny, I think.
Right, absolutely. And I think there was some news story with Hotline Miami 2.
Huh.
And it was something about... Because, the setup of that game is that for Hotline Miami 2, I think you're, an actor on a set, and you are, reenacting, some of the stuff from the first game or something like that? I don't know. But the levels are, scened in these weird, director bits on this movie, and I guess there was something going on that was, kind of a rape scene that was going to happen but didn't happen.
Oh, I think I heard about that.
Yeah. And a lot of people were like, oh, that made us pretty uncomfortable. And the guys who made it were like, it's like, we are kind of on the fence because we want to change that so it's not uncomfortable. But at the same time, we feel like it is framed in an all right way. So I think we need to do more thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's cool that like these people are just being so considerate of others' feelings on these things, like these alterable things that they could just patch in. Because, this isn't exactly it's not exactly like a movie or a show or something.
Yeah, where once it's wrapped, it's wrapped.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can just code something out.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's really cool. I like that people are being very, very considerate of others' feelings. It's nice. Yeah. It's a nice warm, fuzzy sort of thing.
It is. I feel very fuzzy.
Do you?
Yes. So fuzzy.
All right, good. In other news, so the Ouya, I guess, has apparently been in very select Target stores throughout the nation, but coming soon, I think in the next month, Ouya's going to be rolling out to I think almost all of Target's retail locations. It says 1,800 retail locations, retail locations nationwide, beginning in November. And I think this is kind of going to be a thing to... I think they're going to try and put themselves on the same plane as, you know, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4.
Just in time for Black Friday.
Right, right. And the big thing is, do we think that this is really going to help them? Do we think this is going to work out?
I mean, it might if you do your video game shopping at Target. Which, you know, a lot of people do.
Yeah, I mean, they're fairly big players in the whole black market deal.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, if you're a parent, or if you're anybody, and you go in there and, you know, the new consoles are coming out, and then there's also this $99 console. Like, even if Xbox One or PS4 were going to be discounted for Black Friday, they're not going to be $99.
No, that's true.
So I think in this move, they're kind of hoping that the price will be enough.
I think so too.
To make.
And at the same time, though, I'm thinking that, yes, that parent is going to see that price like level and go, oh, like, that's awesome. But then will they see that next to, like, you know, PlayStation 3s and Xbox 360s,
mm-hmm.
you know, consoles that they have heard of and are much more familiar with. And I don't know. I don't have good feelings about it. The Ouya hasn't been an overwhelming success by any means.
Mm-hmm. It hasn't been a failure, I don't think.
Yeah,
it's just sort of made it.
I don't know. I feel it's like there. It's kind of in this limbo because you don't really hear.
We're not hearing a lot of stories about it right now.
You know, you buy Ouya for Towerfall, which I think is actually on 360 now. Maybe.
Oh, okay.
So. I don't know, but that is a thing that's happening. As to the fate of Ouya, who knows at this moment?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that has any big impact on them.
Yeah. Next thing, for anyone who owns a Vita, we can't really show you this, but Tearaway's coming out soon. Tearaway's coming out next month. So
I'm excited for Tearaway, and I don't have a Vita. And I'm not going
to. Yeah, I'm super excited for it. Like, I'm watching this trailer, and I'm like, whoa, man, like, that's a really cool use of that back touchscreen that no one else has made good use of.
Right.
So this is our PSA. If you got a Vita, go get that game. What are you doing? Pre-order that.
If you don't have a Vita, buy a 3DS.
Yeah. Duh.
And if you already have a 3DS and also piles and piles of cash, then go ahead and buy a Vita.
And buy Tearaway.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And then laugh at us. Poor people.
Because
that's what rich people do.
they laugh at lesser people. Right. Mm-hmm. All of them. Every single one of them.
Ha ha. You, less fortunate than I. Watch me play Tearaway on my Vita.
Watch me do it. These touchscreens are crazy.
Oh, damn rich people.
Alrighty, next bit of news. Nice little thing from Nintendo. Essentially, to boil it down, I think this is Miyamoto saying this. Yeah, so Miyamoto essentially said, I'll just read the quote. It's about the potential of remaking more games in HD, you know, in similar styles of Wind Waker, because that came out and that was a huge hit. Like,
oh, yes.
A lot of people in Europe, like, bought Wii U's for that, and that's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, right? Anyways, he says, as for remaking previous games in HD, that's certainly possible, but currently most of our developers are working on making new stuff. HD remakes might, however, be a good project for a developer partner, so that's something that I hope we have the opportunity to introduce in the future.
Okay.
And more interestingly, he says, the main thing that's always going to be on our minds is what new elements of gameplay can we use with the gamepad as applied to some of these older games. We want to find some way to bring a refreshing experience to this rather than simply update the visuals and leave it at that.
Huh.
So that's cool. That's really huge because, like...
That's a good thing.
Like, I want to say anywhere from, like, 3 to 5, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, we were seeing a lot of like HD games pop up, like a lot of these HD remakes happening, mm-hmm. and they were basically just like these mostly visual updates to games that we already knew.
Yeah, because there was really no other new element that could bring something new to the game.
Yeah, or like, but, you know, they would patch some things or anything that was like too difficult, they would refasten, mm-hmm. but it was mostly just the visuals.
Yeah, but so Nintendo's in a place where they do have this kind of crazy new thing again, like they did motion, and now they have this gamepad,
mm-hmm.
where they could absolutely use, like, take advantage of that to refresh or introduce new elements of the game, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I think, like, maps and inventory management are, like, the most obvious, because those always suck.
Yeah. But obviously, depending on the game, but you're right. Like, if you try and think of some of those, like, more classic games, not so much Mario games, because, like, inventory isn't really a thing those, but, like, I don't know, if you think of, like, GoldenEye, like, going into your inventory with that game was so fucking weird. Mm-hmm. Like, you would press start, and the animation goes, like, you would go down and look at your watch, so there was, like, a second and a half delay between hitting the start button and actually getting into the pause menu.
Ugh.
To the point where you could actually still get shot and take damage after hit the pause button. Yeah. And, you know, that was just a mess. Mm. And the thing to really remember, too, is that they have got the library for HD remakes. My God, have they got the library for HD remakes. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't. People always say that like Nintendo's doing bad, but you know they're. I feel like they haven't gotten to the point where they could like really bring out the big guns.
Yeah. They're definitely not out of it.
Absolutely not.
Like the thing that I'm getting most excited about in the video game world is the 3DS and all the amazing looking games that are coming out for it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's going to be there's going to be a new, like, 3D Mario for Wii U. Mm-hmm. There's Smash Brothers for Wii U and the 3DS.
Yeah.
There's the new that Zelda coming out for 3DS. Yeah, no, they're going to be rolling in it this time around. They're going to do fine. Per usual.
Yep. They'll make enough that they can stay inside their little bubble world of Nintendo Land.
Right, which, I mean, is really what we all want.
Yeah, that's their job.
Yeah. And then the very last bit of news, which relates more to your interest than mine.
Right.
Star Citizen is just, they are bathing in cash. They are bathing mm-hmm. in it. They are using it as food, using it as toilet paper, as well as the water in their toilets.
Mm-hmm.
There's furniture made out of it. All of these things. Because you know what? They have currently reached the $25 million mark.
That is so much money.
In funding.
I don't know what a game costs usually to develop.
I mean, how much did GTA cost? Like, I thought we...
did we find out about that? They already...
Wasn't that like a couple hundred million?
Maybe, yeah.
I think it was somewhere around there.
Okay, so this... I mean, it seems like a lot for this game because A, it was crowdfunded. So that's crazy. And B, because we're seeing it all being accumulated, like, as it's being accumulated. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't come out when it's done and say, hey, it cost this much to make. They just said, please give us money for this, and more and more and more and more and more just comes in. We're like, holy shit, people keep giving them money.
Mm-hmm.
So $25 million seems like a lot. And, I mean, it is.
No, it totally is.
For a game, relatively, maybe not, but... I mean, what they've showed off looks good.
For a crowdfunding game, that's huge.
Yeah.
And
to raise $1 million in, what, a week, it says?
Yeah, I'm not sure like how or why that happened, but that is a thing that happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the first comment of like this Destructoid article like puts it the best. Like, I'm so excited for this game, and then I'm also an absolute terror of what $25 million could do to this development process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So...
My voice squeaked right there. God,
you're just so excited for this game.
Yeah, that's
and simultaneously worried for its future.
Hey, that fit perfectly.
Yeah, the way that I see it though, with like $25 million behind it,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna have some upset people. Like, hopefully, it makes a majority of the people who have already like thrown money at it happy, mm-hmm. and they all find what they want. But
it seems like, from what the game is promising, you're going to have a very large group of people get really excited for it up to launch, and then play it, and they'll be like, yeah, it's all right. But then, like, you'll have the core group of dedicated people who are like, this is my life. Everything outside of this game is secondary.
I mean, I would like for it to be a Minecraft.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not always easily reproducible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going to go through that whole, like, pre-alpha, alpha, beta, and then real game process, and who knows how long that's going to take. I mean, I don't know about you, but by the time that, like, Minecraft actually hit, like, full game potential, I wasn't really playing it that much.
Yeah, same here, really.
So
I haven't played it in a while.
Like, there is some worry that I feel like some of the people who contributed to this are, like, going to get burnt out on those alphas and betas, depending on how long the development process is, which, I mean, for a game of this scope, might be a while.
Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting thing we could talk about another day, too, is whether or not that cycle of gradual release is good for games in the long run.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting topic. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, but, anyways, is there anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Okay. That's excellent. Yeah, we've been running long enough. Mike, you are too busy in school to really make these YouTube videos that you usually make, but
that's
if
right.
you weren't that busy, where would they be?
They would be, and I just made a video yesterday, actually.
Okay, cool.
For the first time in, like, a week or two. And you can find that at youtube.com/vloginegan. You can also follow me on Twitter, where I talk about my videos and post my videos and also talk about other things, like eating Pop-Tarts. On Twitter, at EganWorks. That's me. I'm so good at self-promotion. So good.
Oh, you are, sir, the best.
Oh, thank you.
I am on Twitter, at Zach Bruin.
Yes.
Right now, it's the... I'm at Zach Bruin, but in the Halloween spirit, since everyone's changing their their Twitter handles to spooky things, I'm actually Gackery Spewin right now.
Oh, nice. That's good.
I don't know. I don't do many interesting... You know what? Hey, guys, go read a webcomic called Cucumber Quest.
Okay. I'm in.
It's one that I started reading recently. It's this big food world. It's very game-inspired. It's very funny. It's very cutesy. Just read it. I've been reading it recently, so that's my recommendation. I don't do anything on Twitter, but I do recommend cool things to you, so do that.
Cucumber Quest.
Also, I have a 3DS, and if any of you have a 3DS, I have a friend code, and that's 36258732342421. Jesus Christ, Nintendo, get something better than friend codes.
All of that is also part of your friend code? Wow.
No, yeah, that is 12 digits.
Amazing. And the words at the end. Jesus Christ, Nintendo, get something better than friend codes.
Yeah, you gotta put that in, too.
You have to type all that in.
Yeah.
Well, good.
We also make blog things.
We do make blog things.
We presume that you know what those are, since you're listening to this. However, if you're not really the most familiar, you know, we've got this neat little blog site. We have a YouTube channel. We have a Twitter, a Tumblr, a Facebook, a Friendster, a MySpace, a fucking LinkedIn.
We do indeed have some of those things.
Where can people find those, Mike?
Well, to make this easy, you could link to all this on the post, but you know what? I'll just say it, because I'm your monkey.
Because you're a sweetheart.
Yeah. And I somehow remember it all. So the blog itself, the first-person blog simulator, can be found at firstpersonblogsim.wordpress.com, because hosting is expensive, yo.
Yeah.
It's on Twitter, at FPBSim. It's on Tumblr at fpbsim.tumblr.com. It's on Facebook at facebook.com/fpbsim. And our YouTube channel, which now has things on it and is getting more things on it, including Zach's screaming Let's Play of Lone Survivor.
Spooky.
So spooky. Too spooky, even, Tumblr people. And that's youtube.com/fpbsim, though you could have guessed that.
All right.
Them's our things. Do it up.
Solid. Thanks so much for listening. Good to be back. Hopefully we'll put out more of these. We really don't like taking those 3-week hiatuses because we feel like a part of our being is just missing when we're not doing these podcasts.
It's true. I die inside.
Yeah. Anyways, though, thank you. Yep. Hopefully we'll be back for more things next week.
Mm-hmm.
And
game on.
Funny outro.
Nice.